Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Baer, and before we get to our special guest, I would like to welcome aboard and thank our new sponsor, the Evergood Sausage Company, celebrating 90 years in the Bay Area. And we have a special treat for you for our first sponsored podcast, and that is NFL Network analyst, former number one overall pick in the NFL, and older brother of Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. David Carr is with us this week, and it's a perfect time to talk to this very insightful guy who knows a lot about quarterbacking and a lot about Derek Carr, especially after Derek dislocated his right pinky finger in two places, came back one series later, and led the Raiders to an astonishing fourth quarter comeback that was very impressive. And there's nobody who knows the psyche of Derek Carr better than his older brother David, who introduced him to film study at a very early age, who taught him most everything that he knows about playing quarterback, and offered us great insight into how Derek has been doing and whether the Raiders can sustain this success in the long term. So with no further ado, David Carr. Joining us on the Raiders Insider Podcast is former number one overall pick, longtime NFL quarterback, and current NFL analyst David Carr, who is also Derek Carr's older brother. And what's it like watching a Raiders game at the Carr household, especially this season where your brother has orchestrated not one, not two, not three, not four, but five fourth quarter comebacks?
Well, it depends on the scenario, right there. I mean, if we're winning and it's comfortable, it's pretty chill. We're enjoying some food. My dad still doesn't eat during the game, which is funny. He waits till after. But when it gets down to unfortunately, they have in the past couple weeks, and then even early in the season, they've brought it down to the wire, which has been a lot of fun to watch, but stressful for my mom because she flies up and knocks my lamps over and kind of gets a little stressed out. But it's a lot of fun, man. We have a blast watching him, and then we're able to go up there to Oakland and watch. It's even better at home, but the road games have been pretty enjoyable over here at my house.
Yeah, I could imagine, but for you, I guess when you're a player, there's a certain level of control. You know that you've prepared, you're involved, but to be a spectator, whether it's with your kids or your brother, what's that experience like?
Well, I mean, I had my son's fifth grade flag football game last night, and it was about as stressful as Derek's games are. So because I have no control over what's going on, I mean, at least I can call some plays in my son's game and in my son's high school games. But I mean, when it gets into Derek, I mean, you just got to rest on what you guys grew up doing. And that's talking football and throwing the ball around the backyard. And he's so ready. He doesn't need us or our input. I give it to him. We talk every week. And you know, it's been fun to have those quarterback conversations because there's nothing like it. I mean, there's things that go on in the football field that, you know, as a spectator, you just never see, you know, and that's the good stuff for me is the stuff we can talk about, you know, either after the game on the phone or at his house. And I dig that stuff. But yeah, it's fun because I watch the game as a brother, but then I also watch the game as an ex-quarterback. And so there's kind of two elements there. I'm cheering and I'm kind of excited for him. But at the same time, I'm critiquing and kind of trying to help him, you know, and try and just, you know, be another set of eyes looking on. I know he's got some great coaches up there, but it was always fun for me to be able to, those quarterback rooms, if they got some good guys in there that are really trying to help each other. I remember the time I spent in New York and with Eli for those 4 years, it was just a great room. And there's nothing like it because there's not a harder thing to do in sports than play quarterback. And, you know, for him to be playing at this level is really rewarding. It's a lot of fun, but you got to enjoy those moments too.
it must be nice to have somebody else who can kind of speak that quarterback language, because it is very rare. And obviously you guys have bonded over that for quite some time now, but you know, you've been in a game where, let's say, you've been banged up and you've come back into it. What's that like when you watch him go down, watch him come back? Because most people don't know what happens in the locker room and what it takes to get out there. Do you have a certain empathy, or are you kind of feeling along with him during instances like what happened on Sunday?
Now, I'm going through the same thing that he was going through. I mean, just he was going through the pain of it, but I'm still trying to figure out. Basically, what he ended up telling me after the game was exactly what I was trying to figure out. Is it broke? You know, can I do any more damage to it? I remember I hurt my back in New Orleans. We were playing the Saints, ended up breaking two bones in it, but it wasn't something that I could do any more damage to. You know, it was just going to be the pain tolerance. So, you know, went back in, got to play in the game. Derek did the same thing. They popped it back in, and it wasn't broken on the x-rays, and it was just a pain tolerance thing. So when I saw him jog back out and he had the glove on, I knew he was going to try and throw. You know, he started throwing the ball, and if it wasn't going to hurt the team, you know, then that's when you make the decision. If you feel like you can still go out there and help them win, then you do that. And he did that, and I was super proud of him, and it was fun to see him kind of come back in there. Some tense moments, because for a while they had that game in hand. You know, and then that snap happened, and it seemed to kind of steamroll, you know, and the Panthers got some momentum. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do, especially with a team that, you know, as bad as the record is, they were in the Super Bowl last year. They have that demeanor. They understand what it takes to win games. So that was going to be a tough comeback, and they did it. Again, it was just part of this pretty cool season that we're all getting to watch.
You were saying on television earlier this week that there's something about Derek's throwing motion that maybe allows his pinky to be free. Can you kind of explain that for us?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just kind of, I try to use the example of, you know, just two different types of throwers, and really there's kind of how Tony Romo throws, and it's kind of how I threw, kind of around our body, use a lot of the torso, and you got to kind of use everything to get the ball kind of going in the direction you want, put the velocity on it. And then there's guys like Aaron Rodgers and Derek who kind of just flick it right over the top of their shoulder, and they're really just using their thumb and their pointer finger and their index finger, and they can kind of release it off there, so the pinky can kind of float, you know, really. And he's always got a really strong natural grip, and I'm sure that glove helped, you know, and that's what he said. It helped immensely just with that, you know, just a little bit of lack of strength. You don't want to put too much pressure on it, but really that pinky can just float there. For me, it's kind of like shooting a jump shot. So imagine shooting a jump shot with a busted up pinky. It would be kind of tough, you know, but for him, he can kind of just flip it off that first finger and then go to work. So it didn't affect him too much. I think just wearing the glove was probably the most unnatural part of it. You know, just kind of going through the pain was one thing, but you know, the glove sometimes you can lose a little bit of sensitivity. You know, I've worn that before, kind of in the same scenario, but he did great with it. I was kind of watching the first couple throws, and it looked like, you know, if anything, he had a little more zip on it. So I wasn't too concerned after that.
When you look at his fourth quarter numbers between this year and last, obviously the passer rating and the efficiency and all that is much higher. And he's been asked a ton. I'm sure that you have as well. What the difference is, as somebody who knows him as well as you do, can you pick out any anything in particular?
You know what, Scott? It's really experience, and it's understanding the moment and when you can take advantage of those moments. And, you know, again, not to bring up the Giants again, but Eli, I'm just sitting around watching him for 4 years. They have similar traits in that moment, and they understand that it's not something that you should be nervous about or rattled about, but it's something that you realize the other defense has to stop you. That team has to stop you, and they're doing everything they can. Sometimes guys get out of position, and in moments like that, it's almost the most level head, you know, and the guy that can think clearly and make proper decisions is going to take advantage of that. Now, early as a rookie quarterback and a young guy, it's hard, and your numbers are almost flipped. I bet if we looked at him, you know, getting rushed and pressure and then kind of those situations his first year, it wasn't nearly as good. It might even been completely opposite than what it is this year, but there comes a point when you kind of flip a switch and you realize that these aren't necessarily problems, but they're opportunities, and the good quarterbacks take advantage of them. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron, you see all these guys in those situations, into half, you know, into the game, they're scoring points, they're scoring touchdowns. So he's kind of at that point now where he kind of wants the defense. He kind of wants to be in that position, as crazy as it sounds. You know, you hear like guys that say, I want the last shot in basketball. He's the same way. He wants that last shot on him because he feels like, you know, he's prepared enough and athletically he can take care of the situation.
Since you just brought up basketball right there, I'm going to take a small interlude here. And Derek said that at times it's not a good idea for you and him to play one-on-one because somebody can leave with a bloody nose. Is that accurate?
It's
Are you guys
statement.
Allowed to play each other anymore?
We're no longer allowed to play on opposite teams. We have to play together. The last time we played on opposing teams, one of us, I can't remember which one it was. I want to say it was him. He ended up leaving the house for a little while. And my wife was out in the garage and his wife, and they were all kind of just enjoying the brothers playing a pickup basketball game. Well, one of us ended up leaving. It wasn't me. So it was, and he came back later and it was all good. But yeah, when we get out on the court, it's kind of hard. We got to be on the same team. Otherwise, it's going to go to another level. And that's just him, man. That's kind of fun. It's, I mean, just having brothers in general and siblings mm-hmm. you grow up with, you know, how everybody knows how that is, but
yeah,
it kind of makes it even more so when your brother's a pretty good athlete too. So that makes me kind of keep my, that's why I stay in the gym, Scott. I gotta be able to, if he comes over, I gotta be ready.
You have to be ready. And right. Like, and since we're on this family kick, I know that your other brother, Darren, is the head coach at Bakersfield Christian. And I believe your dad is the quarterback's coach there.
Yeah.
And are you still involved in that in some way?
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah. I'm calling plays. I'm the offensive coordinator over there for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. So my son goes to school there. He's a sophomore. And then my other two boys are going to come through the same school that Derek went to. And I figured I was going to be sitting in the stands anyway, watching. I might as well get down there and get a play sheet and call some plays. And it's been a lot of fun. And we have a Valley Championship game Friday night, so we're pretty excited about it.
As your playing career was winding down, did you think much about what you wanted to do next? Now you're in this, you know, kind of media analyst role, you're doing pretty good at that. Like, were you thinking about coaching or going there? And how did you end up where you are now?
You know, it was really, I always knew that when my boys got into high school, I kind of wanted to be wrapping up my playing career and be done. And it just actually worked that way. And I've been able to kind of coach them and be around them and watch their games. And so when the job opening came up at Bakersfield Christian High School, and my brother Darren jumped on it and he went and applied for it and they gave it to him. And before he took the job, he called me and said, "Will you call the plays for me?" And I said, "Well, my son's going to be a freshman there. So yeah, I'll call the plays for you." So I just kind of jumped into that. And then the NFL Network thing just happened where Sean O'Hara was an offensive lineman, a center in New York. And he was on the NFL Network. And he said, I remember talking to him, he retired a year before I did. And he said, "Hey man, you should come out here and do a show with me when you're done. I think you'd be natural. You'd be a lot of fun." So I went out, actually, he was back east when I went out there and did the show there at NFL Films. And then I loved it. It was a lot of fun. Came out here. And, you know, Culver City, the NFL Network, is only about 85, 90 miles from my house. So I just drive down there 2 days a week and do two shows and get to be around great guys like Willie McGinnis and Danny Tomlinson. You know, all these guys that are on the network, Deion Sanders. It's just fun to be around and still talk football. And there's a little locker room atmosphere to it, but it kind of keeps me in it. You got all the knowledge of playing in the last, you know, decade or so. It's kind of it would be a little bit of a waste if you just used it on high school kids. So I kind of like to be able to go out there and kind of talk to the big audiences, too.
Yeah, and it seems like you're having some fun with it. I saw some segment where you're giving your former self some advice. You're wearing a glove this week.
Yeah.
Just like kind of keeping it light and not taking every game and every play so serious. Is that kind of a fun thing for you?
Well, I like keeping it light. I mean, it is a game after all. We've played it since we were all little, and sometimes we forget that, especially when you're in the grind of a season. So that's kind of what I like to do. I also like to kind of just inform everybody, because honestly, football is really misunderstood. And if you're not in it and you haven't played it, it's hard to understand what 22 guys are doing out there. Sometimes it looks like they're just all chasing the ball, you know, or chasing the quarterback. You don't really get it, but there's a lot of work goes into it. And every play, you can sit there and watch every play 1,000 times and kind of break down the little nuances. And that's kind of fun for me. So anytime we get chances to do that and they throw up some, you know, XO video, and I can kind of explain some concepts and kind of what's happening and, you know, what guys are thinking in different situations. I've played in a ton of different offenses too. So that kind of helps when, you know, any question is raised or any coach or quarterback combination kind of comes up, like, or defense for that matter. Defensive coordinators, I've faced all of them. So I have a pretty good feel for all that stuff. So it's fun and natural, and they keep it light down there. It's a great group. I enjoy going to work. I don't even call it that. I mean, just going down there and throw a suit on, but that's it's a lot of fun.
And some funky socks sometimes.
And some funky socks. Yeah, I have a pretty solid sock game. I've accumulated some over the last couple of weeks. It's actually, I can't take all the credit. My wife and my boys always buy me socks. Like, "Hey, you should wear these." So I end up with some funky Dodger socks or Star Wars or whatever, but it's fun.
And I'm sure this hasn't come up very, very often this season with the Raiders doing so well, but have you ever thought about being in a position where if they ask you about the Raiders and they didn't have a good game, or your brother didn't have a good game, you still have to be objective analyst?
Oh,
how do you handle
sure.
that?
Yeah, that is, you know, honestly, that is the hard part, is because yeah, you don't want to sit up there. I don't want to lie to people. That's what I do. I just go up there and I'll be objective. I mean, if they ask me to pick a team, I'm going to pick the Raiders. I mean, they said last week, they're like, okay, who's the best team in the AFC? I'm like, well, I'm going to try to be very objective here and right down the middle. And it's absolutely the Raiders. Like in those situations, I can't hide it. But if you're going to throw some plays up and show me where Derek maybe struggled or where he could improve, I'll break it down because I'm going to tell him the same thing. And he's not, you know, a little kid. I mean, he can take it. He can handle it. He's going to get, you know, harder coaching over there, you know, in Oakland with his coaching staff. But I'm the same way with all those guys. The one thing that I never wanted to do when I got into the business was I never wanted to be a negative guy that just sits up there and bashes guys, because these are the best athletes in the world. Any quarterback that you pull out of there, some people are like, oh, he's terrible, or any receiver or any defensive lineman. These are the best players in the world at what they do. And so they're playing against the best players in the world also. So sometimes guys win, sometimes guys lose. But at the end of it, I'm just going to try and just show what happened and let the public opinion take over, and they can decide what they want. But I'll just kind of just lay it out there for them in front of them and let them decide.
All right. And then I just have one last question for you, and this is going to be an NFL Network analyst question.
Okay.
So it's just that, you know, obviously Derek Carr has been doing really well, but if you look at all the skill pieces around them and the way they've structured contracts, do you think that there's a possibility that this could be not just one nice season, that this franchise could be set up for like for a longer run of yeah. Sustained success?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done it the right way. And, you know, if you just look at what's happening in Dallas, they built it from the inside out. That offensive line is tremendous. They've done the same thing in Oakland. But contractually, you got some young guys, you know, Khalil and Derek, and those guys are all going to need to, you know, they'll get new contracts at some point. So that's when you got to be smart about it, you know. And you look at like Russell Wilson, you know, he's still been able to kind of stay at a high level, even though some guys have had to leave. And, you know, guys move and change. And as winning happens, sometimes it's hard to hang on to guys. And you can't keep everybody, but you can reload. You can keep your nucleus. And I think what they do have is a really strong nucleus of players that can take you a long way. I mean, New England's been able to play well for a long time. I can't remember the last team that's won a division up there in the AFC East other than that, maybe the Dolphins. And that was back in Chad Pennington's days. So they've done a pretty good job. So you can do it in this era. You just got to be smart with it. Smart with who you pay and how much you pay them, and make it all cap friendly, and make sure you can still move and shake with make some important moves if you have to. But I think the good teams are good because they got a good quarterback and they got a pass rush, and you got an offensive line that keeps the guy up, and then you can plug pieces in. You know, and they've had guys that have kind of been plugged in, guys that maybe no one thought Crabtree was going to give anything, you know, anymore. Maybe they thought he was done in San Francisco, and look what he's done. He's come in and he's a number one guy. I mean, they have two number one receivers there, so that's a nice little hit. And so if you do that on offense, you do that on defense, and special teams guys step up, then Reggie's a smart guy. If he can continue to do that, and he's gonna have a job for a long time.
David Carr, thank you very much for taking the time, my friend.
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. I would like to formally thank our new sponsor, the Evergood Sausage Company, celebrating 90 years in the Bay Area. And a very special thank you to David Carr for coming on with us this week and sharing incredible insight into the Raiders and into their MVP candidate, quarterback Derek Carr. So now that you're done with this podcast, I'd head out to your grocery store. I'd pick up some Hot Link sausage, some pineapple sausage from the Evergood Sausage Company. And after that, I would be sure to subscribe to the Raiders Insider Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. We'll talk to you next week with another great guest.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com.